Hey there, my name is Linda Monahan and it is my mission to help you grow your business, improve your life and find your calm, whatever that may be. Welcome to the Corporate to Calm podcast, where you learn from their experience. Hey there, you are very welcome to today's episode of Corporate to Calm. I am speaking to Amy Kiernan. Amy has two businesses. She is from drinknolo.ie and she has a coaching business, Hey Coach Amy. She's an executive coach and she has recently moved from corporate. She had a very successful corporate life within Twitter, now X. She is embracing the future, embracing the universe, and this is such a lovely conversation. I hope you enjoy it. You're very welcome to the Corporate to Calm podcast. I'm joined by Amy Kiernan from Nolo. I drink Nolo, nolo.ie. Amy, introduce yourself and tell me the name of your company.
Yeah. So it's drinknolo.ie. So the company itself is called like Nolo Premium Beverages. But yeah, I figured drinknolo.ie would be kind of an easy one to remember, I suppose. And then we're I Drink Nolo on Instagram. So hopefully that's not too confusing.
Yeah, I simply, if I'm looking for your website, I go Nolo and it comes up.
Yeah, there you go.
So tell me about Nolo. Tell me about, how did it come about for anybody that doesn't know what it is?
Yeah, so I suppose it's coming on a year ago now. I stopped drinking alcohol and I had been flirting with, you know, stopping drinking for a long time, really. Going back probably maybe 6 or 7 years, you know, where I would take a break, I would stop drinking maybe for a year, and then I would just, you know, slowly kind of just start drinking again. And it was never a situation where, you know, there was anything that kind of concerned me in terms of like, you know, challenges with Henry, my dog. So really I had flirted with stopping drinking, and, you know, I had my son 5 years ago and that really changed everything for me. Right. So essentially I was moving into a world where like sleep was just such a like absolute luxury. It was something that was super hard to get, you know, to obviously get. And what I found as I got older as well was that, you know, I'd have, let's say, a couple of glasses of wine. Red wine was my poison. Mm-hmm. And it would just kill my sleep, like absolutely kill it. I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had a bit of postpartum anxiety that never really left me. I still seem to have it. Not as bad now, but it was, you know, it was not very enjoyable in the early days. And it really just impacted my sleep. Like I found anytime I was having alcohol, it was just really, it was really just damaging that sleep quality that I was, you know, I really, really needed, especially as a new mom. So fast forward, Oisin is now 5. But a year ago or so, I just felt, you know, that this was the time for me to fully stop because, you know, the sleep quality was getting worse. It just felt like it was costing me too much. I was waking up exhausted. I was sick and tired of it. I was so tired of feeling exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
I wasn't even drinking that much. It was just not suiting me. And so I said, that's it. You know, I'm done. And so what didn't go away, though, was this desire to have this sense of like winding down in the evening, right? Yeah. This ritual of a grown up drink. Like, I don't want sparkling water at 6 o'clock in the evening. Like, I don't want that sitting in front of the fire. I want something that feels grown up and, you know, like I'm treating myself. Something that feels fancy, that's in a nice glass.
I was just going to say, in a nice glass.
It has to be in a nice glass.
If somebody gives me a Slim Jim in a pub, I'm like, seriously, no, give me a nice glass. You know, I want the tonic water in the big fishbowl like everybody else.
Just, yeah, I want a massive goblet. Like, I want something outrageous and like, just so, yeah, so ridiculous. So, but then I found, I was like, okay, and I would explore, you know, the usual suspects like Dunn's and Tesco's and so on for non-alcoholic alternatives. And I just couldn't find anything that felt fancy enough, I suppose. I know that sounds, I couldn't find anything that tasted amazing, that wasn't like overly sugary, which is a big thing. And I was also turning 40 last year and I really wanted, like, I was like, I want to spend money on something indulgent and luxury and something that would make me feel like I was celebrating myself. And it's like in Ireland, I just got this sense that, you know, Well, you're a non-drinker, so you don't your needs don't really matter. Like, you can drink a warm orange juice, so you can have a Ballygowan sparkling. And I'm like, excuse me, like, no, I want something nice. And so, I started to look further afield. So we went to Paris for my 40th, and I said, you know what, I'll find something in Paris, surely. And so sure enough, I did. I found this like absolutely gorgeous non-alcoholic champagne alternative called French Bloom, which we stock. And I was like blown away by the quality, by the delicate flavor of it, which felt it tastes expensive, like this
Yeah.
particular drink. And I was like, this is what I want, like for something celebratory, to feel like I'm making a fuss of myself. Like, this is the kind of drink that I'm looking for. But like, buying in from France, like it's just very expensive, like with the shipping and with everything and the hassle and the time. Like, if I'm buying something online, I want it like an hour later.
Yeah.
Like, I
Yeah.
welcome the drones. Bring me the drones. Bring me something that brings me something in an hour. And so I started to think to myself, well, maybe this could be an interesting little side business that I could do, because I just figured like maybe other people feel the same way as me. Like, they don't want to drink, they're done with alcohol, and they're fine with that decision, but they still want something nice. They still want to be able to relax in the evening with a glass of something like fabulous. And I discovered loads of other things as well, like for loads of other drinks out there, amazing startups, incredible new, like very innovative brands that are almost like food supplements, but they're
Yeah.
drinks. I mean,
Yeah.
in America, like I have a friend who lives in LA, and he was telling me about this, what it's like there, because it's a huge industry now where, the alcohol is just becoming less and less popular.
Yeah.
There's aisles and aisles, in the grocery stores and the Whole Foods that have gorgeous, like functional drinks that are all designed for people who don't want to drink alcohol, who have absolutely decided that it's not worth it. It's not their vibe anymore. And so there's these healthy alternatives that are amazing and that can actually like give, certain types of feelings if that's what you want. And it's just growing. It's this incredible kind of industry or market. And so I said, maybe I could do that. Like, it doesn't
Yeah.
seem to exist yet in Ireland. And I couldn't really find that space for other women like me that where I could find those kinds of drinks. And so, yeah, I maybe impulsively decided that I would make a small little business, give it a go, and just, yeah, see what happens. And I did. And so that's where it was born. It was last year I decided to make it. And I created a website. We have such great tools these days. Like, we've got Shopify, and we've got like obviously social media. We have a lovely community now on Instagram where it's just so nice. I've met such amazing people, incredible people
Yeah.
through Instagram with their story, the stories that they've shared, and wonderful people doing work in the space as well. Like, Olivia from the Grey Area Drinker, like she's putting out some incredible quality. She's got a podcast too. Few other folks as well. Melissa Kelly is another group, kind of. She runs a group for people who want to be social but don't want to drink. So I met a lot of great people
Yeah.
through it as well, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny because I remember a conversation that we had, and it was about adding worth to alcohol and not adding worth to non-alcoholic
The
beverages.
value we place
And
on
it,
drink.
yeah. And it was actually quite powerful because you nearly add that value to you as well, because it's an extension of it, just if that makes sense. Because I remember being in a restaurant and I had a no-hito. And it was absolutely divine. I actually had my husband taste it because I was like, are you sure there's no alcohol in this? It was lovely. And we just had the ambiance and the glass, and like, it was really, really nice. It was 8 euro. And
Yeah,
I remember,
which is actually not that bad, to be
not
honest.
that bad. And somebody commented how disgraceful it was for 8 euro.
No.
And they were having a bottle of wine for like 50 or 60 quid. And I just was the first time I kind of rebutted, and because I'd had the conversation with you, and I was like, why is my drink worth less than your drink?
Yeah.
No, and it
Not
was,
even
oh,
logically true, because the ingredients that were required to make the mojito,
yeah,
I mean, absolutely. You run into
and
that
the
all
scale as well, because like the cocktail
the
person did
time.
it, and yeah, but it was like, oh,
Absolutely.
I don't mean that, and I was like, but you're adding this worth to alcohol.
But it's in our society, like 100%. I find it when I think about, you know, when I think about the business and I think about gifts, right? And I was thinking about this around Christmas and I was thinking, okay, would people in Ireland give somebody a non-alcoholic drink for a gift? And I have to be honest and say, no, I don't think we're there yet. I really don't, because I do believe, and it is what it is, right? This is where our society and our culture is right now. And we're changing, but we're there right now. We feel, you know, collectively, and well, we've been taught to feel by very clever marketing, really, over decades, that the value of something is in the alcohol. And that if you remove the alcohol, well, then you're giving something a poor kind of, you know, poor relation or whatever. And so you'd almost be embarrassed, like, to offer them. At Christmas, you know, I was considering about gifts and, you know, would people give a non-alcoholic drink to somebody else as a gift? And I had to be really honest with myself. And I, you know, I came to the conclusion that I don't think so. Like, not yet. I still think that we as a society, and again, I think there's why we feel this way is obviously decades of marketing, right? We've been taught to feel this way, but we associate the value in the gift is in the alcohol.
Mm.
You know, so we give whiskey or we give like a bottle of Moët or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's something that's changing. It's something that I hope, you know, maybe I'm playing a tiny little part in dismantling. But it's very insidious, and it's also very, it's quite harmful.
Yeah.
When you think about it, that, you know, you assume we give alcohol so much power and we give it so much worth, like you said. And I'm not here for that anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
No.
I disagree. And it's funny. It's funny because you mentioned people that are talking about it, and there's so many more. Like, it's amazing the people that you do meet. But
it's like the
veil is lifted.
Yes.
And like, okay, I can talk about it with you, but there's people in my circle that still drink, and it's like I can't even mention some of the stuff that we talk about as far as like marketing and the kind of the biggest kind of con in society, really, as far
any
as
any drug, right? Isn't it the only drug that when you stop taking it, people are like, you're mad?
Oh, you stop smoking, pat on the back, big, well done, you know. And it's like, well, why have you given up alcohol?
What's wrong with you? You don't drink? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And but I really do think that's changing. You know, I think about and I was actually thinking about this before we talked this morning. And I think about like why it's changing. And it's similar in to anything, really. I think we have more information now.
Yes.
You know, with the internet, with
just
the sheer amount of research and information and studies that are being shared with us now to show, you know, the downsides of alcohol and the costs of alcohol. Because before, you know, when we were maybe younger or in our parents' kind of generation, it was all rooted in shame.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, you never talked about the alcoholic uncle or whatever it is, because, you know, there was this shame associated with it, because how convenient, again, for the alcohol companies or the marketing. But, you know, the shame was on the person, right? There was something wrong with the person for not being able to consume the addictive poisonous substance, right? Like, the blame has been inappropriately placed. And I think that now we have so much information at our fingertips, and we're questioning things more than we've ever questioned anything in the history of humanity.
Yeah.
We're now saying no. And I also think, you know, sidebar, we're getting kind of more comfortable with shame as you know, Brené Brown, but like we are getting more.
It's not ruling us anymore. I have a friend who his mum is an alcoholic, and she's alcohol free, I think maybe well over 25 years, but she still will talk about why she can't just have, and it's funny, like even after 25 years, why can't I just have one drink? And it's because you're an alcoholic mum. But, you know, it was a case of the difference between people, and it's like, well, why can one person stop? And it's recognizing that there are so many people that can just, oh, I've had one or two and I'm done, like, you know what I mean? And it was just like, there's so many people just not like that, you know.
It's, but also, like, it's literally designed so that you don't just have one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that is the whole point of it, you know. And so, yeah, there is just I'm so glad that we're living in a time where this is changing, and that the beliefs that we've all taken, you know, for granted, right, over years and years are now being dismantled. And I think that people are just, you know, they're crafting the kinds of lives that they want to live.
Yeah.
Very intentionally too. Like I want to feel, I mean, in my case, for example, I wanted to live a life where I had more energy. Like that to me was the biggest thing. You know, I talked about how alcohol, the biggest downside for me was the way that it killed my sleep. And also I will say that the second thing was that it increased my anxiety. So those are the two things. It wasn't like a physical dependency. There was no rock bottom. There was nothing. I shouldn't say nothing. It was very significant for me, but the two things that it impacted most was my sleep and my anxiety. And I don't want to live a life where I'm tired all the time and I'm anxious all the time. And so that's how I was able to stop, is I was able to say, okay, well, what kind of life do I want? What does it look like? What needs to happen in order for that life to be possible? And it became so simple then, right? It's just, okay, I just have to stop drinking. Okay.
And was Nolo before or after that? And tell me about your journey prior to Nolo, because I think that's super interesting as well. So kind of
the
corporate to cam essence of your journey, which I think a lot of people will find very interesting.
Oh, yeah. So the quitting alcohol began before Nolo. And then I guess rewinding all the way back. So my kind of background is very corporate. So I've been in the corporate world for just about 20 years now. And I, like so many other people, completely bought in to the belief, the fundamental kind of idea that, you know, in order to be successful, I needed to climb the corporate ladder. I needed to be promoted. I needed to get the approval of those superior to me or ahead of me on the ladder. And, you know, and when I say it like that, it sounds like I didn't enjoy it, but I did. I had some great times. I worked in Ireland. I started my career at Hot Press magazine many, many moons ago. And I'm like so not cool, which is so funny. When I started working there, and like, you know, my sister, who's like into more edgy music than me, and my dad, and they were, I was like, I'm the least edgy person you'll ever meet. Like, I'm so not cool. And like, I started my career at Hot Press, which was very cool at the time. I don't even know if it still is. And so I started my career there, and then I moved to Harmonia, and I worked with Nora Casey and I worked for her on a number of her magazines at her publishing company back in the day, and I think I was there for 4 years, and then I decided to immigrate. So my now husband and I, Shane, we were here. You know, we were in Ireland when the whole recession happened. You know, it was like it was a challenging time, right? That was when the social tax got introduced, I remember. And we were in our mid 20s and we wanted to, you know, go and have some fun. So we said we'd go to Toronto for a year, and we stayed for nearly 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And so moved over there. And after another role, I was in sales for pretty much all of my career. I ended up working for Twitter. Well, X, but it was Twitter at the time. And in Canada, they were just launching. So it was like very, very new. I mean, we were all aware of it. I think I joined Twitter in 2009. Funnily enough, random memory has just been unlocked. But I think I joined Twitter when Jerry Ryan died.
Wow.
Years ago. Yeah. Do you remember like the controversy, of course?
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose it was one of those things where there was a lot of discussion online about it. And then I joined Twitter. And I think that was 2009, if I'm remembering correctly. But anyway, fast forward to Toronto in 2013, where we were launching Twitter in Canada. We were launching The Office, and there was about 8 of us. And it was like this little startup, and it was just super messy and very unstructured. And it was so exciting and so fun. And I met some incredible people. And yeah, I was at Twitter for nearly 11 years altogether. I stayed with them in Toronto for a long time. I moved positions. I moved into a kind of a leadership role there. And I started doing a lot of internal coaching. So that's where I discovered my passion for coaching, which I still do to this day. And I made some friends there that are probably closer than, like, just similar to family, just when you spend so long in the corporate environment. I think that's probably the best thing about it, is you make these incredible connections And so I still have, you know, so many of them, and I learned so much. Like Twitter was so great with education and with learning and development. I had the opportunity to do some executive education at Harvard, the Wharton School in Pennsylvania. I remember driving down there with one of my colleagues and spending a week in the campus. And it was just incredible the way that they invested in their people. And so I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And, you know, we had a very transparent, psychologically safe culture. And I, but then, you know, I had my son in 2018, and I started to think about, again, what we were talking about earlier, this idea of crafting the life that's meant for you at that moment, because your values change, you know, and when a big transition happens in your life, and for me, that was having my son, my values shifted again. And they didn't change completely, but what they were changed in ranking or priority order. And so family, of course, became very, very big. And it was COVID, so I felt very lonesome, you know, as well. Or I should say, actually, that was more so when Oisin started, when he was a toddler. But when he was around two, we started to really seriously think about going home, because that's when COVID came in. And I mean, we were just, you know, like everybody, just isolated in our house. We may as well have been in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't see anybody. And, you know, obviously navigating the change from in the office to your home office, or, you know, being at home on your computer. I remember the exhaustion of being on video calls. I remember just being like, I'll never be able to do this. Like, I'll never be able to survive doing video calls all day, because I remember how shattered I was. But, you know, you get used to everything, or you can get used to anything, I suppose. And so I was lucky enough to move home and change roles within Twitter and move into a different team. And so I was able to keep that, like, stay working for the company. And we moved back, and I started to work for, you know, in the Dublin office. And then, of course, you know, a lot of change happened, and ownership changed, you know, leadership changes, lots of different things happened. And, you know, it became, I suppose, another choice for me, like, you know, living that life with intentionality, like I always try and do. It felt like the right time for me to end that chapter. And it was really painful. And I grieved, you know, in saying goodbye to a company where I had committed over a quarter of my life.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. And it's still with me, because it was only in January, not long ago, you know. And there are some incredible people working at, I mean, it's now X, but, you know, such hardworking, decent, kind, talented, incredibly talented people. Not just in Ireland, but in America and, you know, all over the world. I had the pleasure of working in a global team across multiple cultures and different time zones. And similar to when I worked in the Toronto office, I met and made some very wonderful connections with people that I will have forever. And yeah, but, you know, as everything does, it came to an end, and it was time for me to say goodbye. And as I was thinking about it, and I was making that decision, I thought to myself, you know, in order for, this is a bit woo-woo now, but I do have a bit of a woo-woo part of me.
I think we all do. And you just have
I'm embracing it.
Yeah,
I'm kind of leaning into it.
You just have to hug it and give it a cuddle, because
I'm okay with the woo, the woo-woo. But I said to myself, you know, if I want to really be open and accepting for what the universe has for me, has in store for me, I have to let go of the old, you know, and it was right to do that. It was a good time to do it. And I learned so much about myself and about what I want and who I want to be. And my values have shifted again, you know, slightly, because again, another big transition in my life. Here I am on the other side. And I'm not going to lie, I mean, it's definitely disorientating to know what to do next, especially, you know, given I'm really inspired by the work that you do and the way that you support people in, because I think this living a life of intentionality is core to what you do. You know, this, even the sense of corporate to CAM, this, you know, changing your life circumstances in order to craft a life that you truly want to live, to me is the most powerful thing that you can do. And I feel so fortunate and privileged, really, to be able to make that change. And I've got a supportive husband who honestly would, you know, support me in doing anything. If I no matter what I decided to do, he'd be like, okay, that's cool, you do you. And same with my family and friends. And so here I am on the other side. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I've got a lot of interests. and a lot of passions. And I'm really cultivating or trying to cultivate a deep sense of self-trust through all of it. Because I think for me, and I think for anyone that's making a big change like this, when all of it is stripped away and you have nothing, you don't have the identity anymore of the big job in corporate.
Are you feeling a little stuck, both professionally and personally? You want to create healthy daily habits, but you become overwhelmed. I have created the 5 Habits Challenge just for you. Hey, it's Linda, aka The Habit Boss, and I designed the 5 Habits Challenge, The Pathway to Progress. These are 5 simple habits to hold you accountable. Give me 30 days and I will help you create 5 simple habits that propel you forward, both personally and professionally. Check out the 5 Habits Challenge in the show notes or go to www.corporatecam.com. And now let's get on with the show.
That is stripped away and you have nothing, you don't have the identity anymore of the big job in corporate. What's left? Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And these are vital questions to ask and answer. And you, it's okay if you don't have the answers, but in asking the question, that's what prompts the awareness and the sense of self-discovery. And ultimately, the sense that no matter what you do or what kind of role you have, you're still you and it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what strengthens the self-trust, which I think is the most important skill that we can develop as people. And in fact, I would go so far as to say that the corporate environment has a unfortunate side effect of actually eroding self-trust, because you tend to look outward externally for validation. Mm-hmm. It's just designed that way.
Yeah.
You want a promotion, you have to impress others. You have to figure out what they want instead of looking within and seeing what you want. And so that's been a really great learning for me as well as I've kind of gone through this journey.
I love that. And that's that, you know, the whole self-trust and values and aligning with your values. And it's something that I wish, and I think that people are doing, but to do it and discover it younger.
It should be taught in school.
Yeah. You know, it would be so phenomenal because, you know, I have these amazing conversations with women.
Yeah.
Predominantly in their 40s. And it's like, why can't it happen in your 20s, you know, that way? And I do believe, like, obviously, we're not mature enough and we go through a variety of, you know, circle of friends. And, you know, it is an evolution. But, oh, my God, if we could start that bit earlier, as you say, in school and just embed that into, you know, that self-trust into it would be phenomenal. It would be absolutely phenomenal. As far as the business is concerned, you've mentioned kind of that, oh, it's you know, a small business, it's this, it's that. Where do you see it going? What do you see? Because obviously you have an ideal client, a typical client. Is the culture of, you know, sober curious, not drinking, sobriety, where is that going in your opinion? What do you see for Nolo's future?
I think that more and more people are realizing the cost of alcohol and how it impacts them, not only physically, but also mentally and emotionally. I think that there's a huge surge in this desire for well-being generally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the more information that's out there and the more people that start to speak up about, you know, the kinds of lives that they want to live, I think it's only going to get bigger. I know the research in terms of like sales of non-alcoholic drinks versus alcoholic drinks. I mean, there's massive growth in the sector and the industry. And I think it's just going to continue to grow, you know. I had some great advice, or I got some great advice from my sister, because I'm a bit of a hustler, you know, and I'm not really one to rest or kind of wait. I mean, I'm a very impatient person, you know, and that can serve me really well at times. But then it can also make me hustle in a way that's like almost toxic, right? This kind of sense of toxic productivity and needing to get things done and having enormous expectations. I mean, I am a massive perfectionist and I'm really trying to let that go. And it's like my life's work.
It's such a Gen X elder millennial trait, isn't it? It's
Oh.
like productivity equals value.
Do is my value. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And like, I know this logically, like that this is not true, but I, like many others, have to continually try and like prove that to myself somehow. And so, my go-to is work harder, do more. And what, you haven't done this yet, or what about this? And those are the kinds of like inner kind of critic words and phrases that I say to myself inadvertently. But my sister gave me some great advice when I asked her opinion about, and she's a leader in the marketing space as well in Ireland. So she's really knowledgeable, and she also knows me, of course, very well. And she said, "Amy, just let it breathe." And I was like, "Pardon? What? What?" And she's like, "Yeah, just let it breathe, let it breathe." And I don't know, it just spoke to me. It just resonates with me so much. Let it breathe. Let myself breathe even, When I say those words, it reminds me to take a breath and to think about and reflect on what I have achieved to date, which has been a lot, like launching a new business from nothing. Navigating the end of like an intensely joyful, honestly, engagement at Twitter, seeing it change and navigating, ending or resigning from a job that I loved, like I deeply loved, and leaving people that were like family to me, like so many of those things, and reflecting on the success and the what it has given me has been really powerful. And so that's my plan. I don't really know much more than that, and I also feel the pangs of perfectionism to define it more.
No,
But
I
right
think
now,
it's fab.
let it breathe is the plan.
And what about your day now? We actually, before we came on, you were talking about your son going to school and the steps of life, I suppose, more than anything else. What is an ideal day for you? And let's forget about weekends, but a Monday or Tuesday if you're feeling productive, but personally as well, like what do you like to do for you on those productive days?
So a big part of my life, and something that I've been able to embrace more now that I don't work full time, like in a corporate environment, is my coaching. So I'm doing a master's at the moment at UCC. It's part time. It's in coaching, personal and management coaching. And I had started my coaching journey back in Toronto. So I started that, oh, actually before I got pregnant with Oisin. So it's kind of woven into who I am for the past 6 or 7 years now. And so what I love most about coaching is that I'm supporting others to figure shit out. I mean, that's really it. I'm helping others learn about themselves and about their lives and about what it is that they want and what it is that fulfills them and brings them joy, where to spend their time, what their values are. And so, an ideal day would be definitely some element of that. I'm doing a lot of that at the moment. I'm writing, I'm practicing writing. I'm not a very good writer yet, but I'm practicing it. And I love, like, one of my biggest values is solitude, So I love speaking with people and I love working with people and helping people. And I get a great buzz from one-on-one conversations, especially the deeper they are, the better, because the woo-woo comes out there. Love the deep conversations. But I also have to replenish the energy. And for me, that comes from being alone. And I love drinking tea. I love going out for walks, being in nature. I don't like being in the rain. So it's a bit of a challenge in Ireland. I have to
It
on that.
certainly is. It
That can be tough, but I love going out for a walk with my dog and catching up with friends. Simple stuff, slow
certainly
stuff. I came across, I've been using Pinterest a lot lately. I've always been a fan of Pinterest. I think that it's a totally underrated social media platform. I have a lot of friends that work there.
I totally agree with you. I think,
Love it. Love it. And it's what I love about it is that it's slow and gentle compared to the machine gun kind of like, fire of like TikTok, for example, or X, or even Instagram. Instagram is more kind of assertive, in what it expects from you and how the behavior that it kind of brings out of you. Whereas I find Pinterest is very gentle. And I came across this amazing writer and coach who's based in Melbourne, and she has this whole thing around gentle marketing, which I'm fascinated by, which is just this sense of, like, you know, gently inviting people to check out what it is that you do and trusting, right? Just that sense of trust again, trusting that the people who need you most or would resonate with you most or who you can help maybe the most will find you.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. And so, you know, there's something about the reflection in that and just kind of the slowness and, you know, just the trust, I suppose, trust being this like really kind of buzzword for me at the moment that really resonates with me, I think.
And do you know what? It's so funny, kind of even the evolution of this conversation. And you've talked about being impatient and wanting things done now. And now we're talking about Pinterest and we're talking about the soulless of gentle marketing. So it's like listening to what you're saying. We were chatting about listening to my body earlier and what's good for me. But we do need to reinforce that with ourselves. I think it's so important, because how many times I shudder to think how many times we negatively speak to ourselves during the day. And it's like, if we just could, you know, do that gentle marketing to ourselves, you know what I mean? And just have that, it's fine. You're okay.
Got this. You'll figure it out. You know, and it's so true, because like it comes back to that sense of trust in ourselves, doesn't it? Like we know what's right for ourselves. Like we may not know it like on the surface. We may need to excavate a bit and we may need help, right? Like you help people with habits and changing their lives, and I help people as well with my coaching. And underpinning that help and the coaching that we do is this fundamental belief system that we have as coaches, that the person that we're helping has the answers, not us. Mm-hmm. Right? They're the ones that know what's best for them. We just give them a space, a container, maybe thoughtful questions, prompts, suggestions to figure it out. But they're the ones that will actually figure it out for themselves. There's this amazing saying, right, in the coaching kind of educational research that is taught to all new coaches. You probably know this, but it's that, you know, as a coach, you believe that your client is creative, resourceful, and whole. And you go into every conversation really understanding and truly believing that. And people feel that when they work with somebody that has that philosophy, because it's not about telling and it's not about forcing. It's about just offering,
right?
Listening and, you know, creating a space for growth and kind of learning and change to happen naturally and organically.
And I do think that maybe it's like the whole sobriety journey and, you know, society and everything like that. But this hustle culture is evolving, and it is, you know, slowing down, and it is. And, you know, it was my kind of mantra in 2023, but I think I've kind of carried it into now. It's like my pace, my serenity. And, you know, if people want to go off ahead, that's absolutely fine, you know, but it's, I think that if you have that self-trust and it's like, I am where I'm meant to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's understanding that it is all part of the process. And, you know, if you have had a habit of maybe self-sabotage in the past, and, you know, the way some people get to a stage where it's like, and then it's like, oh no, kind of thing. But it's understanding that you have to experience these things to get where you want to go. And sometimes you don't get there. Sometimes the journey is the way, really.
Yeah. It's the only thing that you have is the journey.
You know, because I mean, the amount of times you kind of think, well, I've done it now. I've launched this. I've thought, and you still feel the same way. You still feel.
I agree more.
You know, it's like, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? Because you know, the divine kind of inspiration and happiness, does it exist?
Yeah. You've just made me think as well about why I think gratitude, why people love it so much, and why it becomes so central, I think, in people, you know, in their practice every day, in their daily habits, let's say. It's because it just reminds you that, like, you have everything that you need right now, you know?
That's such a perfect thing, because mm-hmm. I think we we probably are all guilty, and you know, in the here and now of just looking forward. And it's like, actually, just look around, and you know, cherish what you have, because you know, not a lot of people have what you have, and that's really,
Yeah.
you
And
know.
it builds the self-trust as well, because you're like, oh, wow, look what I have made, or look
Yeah.
what I do have around me, you know? And there's always something, I think, to find, right? To be grateful for. And I know that, like, there kind of tends to be as well this, like, this move of, you know, this, I think you've probably heard of it, this like toxic positivity as well, right? Like, where it's like, okay, well, we don't want to say, okay, well, everything is fine, everything is fine. Like, you know, you don't want to move forward, but it's like that balance, right? Like, it's like finding that sweet spot between, yes, you know, I have goals and I have, I'm building something, right? I'm moving towards something, because change is inevitable. So you're going to change anyway. You may as well change in a way that you want versus a way that you're not even in control of. And I think, yeah, gratitude can be this just like really nice little passenger that comes along with you. And I love the way you said, don't, like, it's almost like just don't look forward, look around.
Because that's you, like, honestly, it's like, okay, I get, like, some of the most mundane things you can be grateful for, because we've all seen across the last 5 or 6 months that not a lot of people, you know, there are people that are, you know, do not get to, you know, pick their kids up from school or put a wash on or, you know, brush their teeth or, you know, it's simple things, you know. As far as, you know, the future is concerned, and letting it breathe, like, what is there something in your mind's eye that you'd like, oh my God, I would love, I would just, that's what I would love. Is there anything there for you?
You know, it's funny, like, for some reason, I'm drawn at the moment, and I think this is probably from one of just my values, but I'm really drawn to learning and education at the moment. You know, that to me is just, it's just, I'm not sure where I'm going to go with it, but I think it's probably because I am, you know, obviously doing, you know, I'm in an educational course right now. So, you know, I'm doing assignments and I'm doing all my reading and things like that. And I'm also like really, I'm really excited to see where Nolo goes. And I love, you know, meeting people. I wonder if there's going to be an intersection perhaps between the work that I've done in the non-alcoholic space and the coaching work that I'm also building. You know, but the honest answer, Linda, is I don't know. And as I say that to you, I feel a sense of terror. I definitely feel a sense of terror, which I'm trying to embrace. And I'm trying to, you know, just it is part of my experience right now, right? Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know a lot of other things. I know that I'm capable, and I know that I'm curious, and I know that I like to have a bit of a laugh in whatever I'm doing, and I like to not take it too seriously. And I know that no matter what comes up, I'm going to make it work, and I'm going to make it work for me. And I'm going to enjoy it, you know, while I'm figuring it out. And I think it's okay maybe to not have it all sorted, because I'm a very futuristic person. Like, in all of those corporate questionnaires and, you know, all the different types of assessments, self-assessments and, you know, third-party assessments that you can do, the futuristic is like my number one strength. The ability to look forward and to plan is like my comfort zone, you know? So the universe is telling me, you know, maybe I need to learn something else, right? Yeah, you've been futuristic for a while, but now it's time to let it breathe. So I'm going to focus on the learning and the education side of things, which I'm enjoying so much. You know, I'm really leaning into the coaching, and the people that I'm meeting through my course are just the nicest, most wonderful. Like, we share, you know, we've got lots of shared values. And so that's been an absolute joy. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, the people also that I'm meeting through Nolo has been honestly transformative. You know, it's when you stop drinking alcohol, I mean, for me, what helped the most was having alternatives. You know, and this is, I think, unique to everybody. Some people are not into it, and that's okay. And some people are really into it. Like, for me, I had a non-alcoholic drink probably for the first 8 to 9 months every night for when I stopped drinking alcohol, because that was what helped me. And some people won't at all. You know, and so I think for me as well, another thing that helped was this sense of community and feeling like I was part of something bigger than myself. And so, yeah, I'm gonna lean into that and enjoy what I'm enjoying right now and see, you know, what unfolds. But like I said, there's something around the coaching and maybe this intersection between the work that I've done with non-alcoholic that is really appealing to me at the moment. And I think the last thing that I would hopefully start to learn is this sense of rest, right? Like this sense of like rest is not really something that's, I suppose, rewarded or encouraged in the corporate world, right? Like it's like, oh yeah, you take your vacation, but we'll have to cover you while you're out. You know, it's kind of like, is it really something that, you know, is supported? I'm not sure. I mean, I know when I was in the corporate world, like I would take my vacations and I would tell my team and people that I worked with that, you know, absolutely, I would encourage that. But you're kind of set up in a way where it's not, yeah. You know, it's not. And so now that I have this, like that I'm in this incredibly privileged position to be able to focus on passion projects of mine, like the coaching, like the, not like NOLO, I'm going to also explore what it feels like to rest because I'm not used to that and see what happens.
And I think the biggest thing, even just taken out of the last 5 minutes, is enjoying what you do now. Because I think that, and that is probably back to gratitude. It's probably back to appreciating where you are now, because so many of us, and I've had conversations and it's like, talk about the anxiety and why haven't I going faster? Why haven't I? And it's like, actually, it's just all back to appreciating and you know that you can take this journey, that you can study in UCC, that you can open a business, that you have the support of your husband, that you have a son who is going to thrive in school. You know what I mean? It's all these things that it's brilliant. Is there anything that people don't know about you? That's one of my questions. Tell me something not a lot of people know about you.
People are always surprised when I tell them this. But I'm a real gamer. I love playing games.
Really?
Any kind of game, but yeah, I love gaming. Yeah. So
that's
like
amazing.
PlayStation 5, and I have a Switch, and I have like my computer, and I've always been that way. Like I've loved
wow.
puzzles, I love card games, I love a game of 45. I love any game anywhere, like I just absolutely love it. It just brings me so much joy. Most recently, one of my favorite games ever is Skyrim. And because people always ask me that too, then what's your favorite game? Skyrim. And then also Baldur's Gate 3, the one that just came out recently. It's a masterpiece. So people are surprised. I don't know why. I guess there's this kind of like maybe belief that, you know, gamers are a certain type of way or whatever, but I love it and I try and fit it in and squeeze it in. And Ushin, my son, is also becoming a bit of a gamer too. He's enjoying it and playing. We try and play together. There's a couple of good ones, you know, that we play together. So yeah, that's something
cool.
I love to do.
Yeah, that's really, yeah. Because it's something, it's funny, it's something that I don't know, I just don't have the attention span for it. Like, I just, but my
oh,
son
I haven't
is.
No attention span either, but
yeah,
somehow
yeah.
I can think, like if I was left to my own devices and like if Oisin wasn't here or if I had a couple of days where I really didn't have to do anything and a new game came out, oh, we're talking, I could do 24, 36 hours. Like,
that's amazing.
Absolutely. It's just, and you know what it is? It's going back to the values thing. It's like, so my values too, that are really, really strong. It's this sense of exploration and discovery. So for me, the joy of a new game and like discovering a new world, like an open world that is, I haven't discovered yet. Like, oh my, hook it to my veins. Like there's nothing better. And I think that goes back to the learning as well, because you kind of developing this understanding of something new. And so, yeah, I think that's where it comes from. But it's a real passion. Maybe I need to do a business around that, too.
maybe. I was trying to convince my 18-year-old niece to do gaming in what formerly was DIT. It's now TU. I was like, oh, my God, if I could go back, I would develop games. I would love that. Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
It's this has been a wonderful chat. I mean, I think, you know, what I think it's going to linger with me is this sense, and I love the fact that we were able to spend some time just talking about, building a life of intentionality, right? Like a life that you want. And I think that starts with getting to know yourself really well and asking yourself questions about like, what is most important to me? And, what do I care about? Because when you started talking about earlier about how we hustle and we are, we embrace this like toxic productivity, we do it because we have these limiting beliefs that we think we should. Right. We're told, or we see, or we look at others and we think we should be doing this. We should be getting a promotion. Oh, well, everyone else is like, I should be further along in my career. I should be this. I should be that. And actually, if you sit down and you say, what do I really want? I mean, I did this to myself 1,000,000% when I started off with the coaching. I found myself hustling and trying to sell myself somehow and putting out these like fabulous quotes. And I'm like, wait a minute. Do I actually want to be a coach full time? I don't know yet. And so when you stop and ask yourself, like, what is it that I really want? It's there, like you'll figure it out, and I think that helps with dismantling or perhaps like letting go or reframing those kind of those shoulds, those beliefs that drive you into behaviors that may not be serving like the life that you really want.
And I love that. I absolutely love that, because that has been definitely me for the last 3 years at least. And I'm on this corporate to come journey 7 years, and it's like throwing yourself into something because you should. That should is just such a detrimental
word. It's a bad word.
It's a detrimental word. And it's now like even the past year, like I have been left behind by people who are accelerating forward, and I've just been discarded. And it's like, that's okay, because I'm not going at that pace. That's fine.
And I look at you, Linda, and I'm like, my God, she has it all figured out. She knows exactly what, look at her business. She's amazing. Like, isn't it funny? Like, that's what happens. And you don't even realize.
And that's going back. I mean, I will start. I don't know where it came, like, but my pace, my serenity is my, it's just, I think side glancing can be just as harmful as the shoulds. It's like, just look, you could look around at what you have physically, emotionally, but don't look at other people's journeys, because it's that comparison can just kill it. Like, absolutely. But I do think take inspiration as well. So maybe I'm contradicting myself.
I have a great saying for you that actually is not mine, but it comes from another coach. She's Irish. Her name is Grania. And I'll send you her link in case you do show notes, because this is, I don't want to take credit for it.
Yeah.
But she had this amazing post on Instagram, which I found deeply inspiring, which is about comparison. And she said, don't take the success of others as, something that you need to feel bad about, or like, oh my God, I'm not there yet. Instead, reframe it as evidence that you can do it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, and it's, but it's moving away. You know, the way you mentioned like that toxic positivity and that, and it's looking, everything should be a reflection. So if you see somebody who's doing something similar to you or doing so, it's like, take the compliment, take the, rather than, because the fact of the matter is, and it's so commonly said, but sometimes I don't think people believe it. It's like, there is only one you, and there is only, there's only one Amy behind Nolo, and it's like that this business has the capacity to just like explode forward. But with somebody else at the helm, does it? Do you know that way? So it's all, it's right place, right time. It's conversations, it's opportunity, but it's also knowing your value and trusting yourself, as you said.
Yeah. Yeah. The greatest gift you can give yourself, really.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
So I have a couple of places. So the website, if you are interested in taking a look at any of the non-alcoholic drinks that we stock, is drinknolo.ie. And then we're also on Instagram at iDrinkNolo, anywhere really, TikTok, Pinterest, it's all iDrinkNolo. And then if you're interested in exploring more of my coaching work, I'm at heycoachamy.com. And I'm also at heycoachamy on Instagram and Pinterest.
I'll put all the website links in the show notes for sure, like, that wave. And thank you so much, Amy. Thank you. That was lovely. That was a really nice way to spend Tuesday morning.
Yeah, agreed. It was lovely. Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Corporate to Calm podcast. Please subscribe, leave a nice review. It really does make a difference. or simply come back and listen to us next time. My name is Linda Monahan, inspiring you to take that leap from corporate to calm.